Okay, good evening. It's amazing to be back giving shir. It's a tremendous zechus. Rabbi Lubin's been giving shir between Mincha Ma'ariv on Shabbos, but to have the chance to give a shir live in person is a big zechus, and hopefully it'll be the first of many as we progress, hopefully, towards a vibrant, fully active shul, and hopefully the learning tonight will be a zechus for that. I want to thank Aaron Breslin, our youth director, for setting up the live stream and taking care of a lot of the technological support. Really, over the last couple months, his help has been incredible with helping us be Marbitz Torah, spreading Torah via technology. And then I would like to also just introduce tonight's shir by saying this is not a shir on the overall theme of davening on Rosh Hashanah, on the Malchios, the Zichronos, the Shofros. There's a lot that's written and said about that, a lot of drushas, and many have expounded on that already. That's not what tonight is going to be. Tonight, similar to the shir we gave on the Haggadah, I'd like to take a few. We might have to do two parts this week and next week, but a different parts of the machzor, of the davening, and try to offer insight, additional explanation, commentary, which hopefully will help us in our davening on Rosh Hashanah. Not that we need anything to help us focus, especially this year. We've never had, I think, Rosh Hashanah with the importance, the severity, the heaviness of the impending din, but to connect to certain specific parts of the davening. Hopefully tonight's shir will help us do that. And I'd like to start actually not in order. We'll go in order, but I want to start a little bit not in order with in Ma'ariv. So it's kind of in order. In Ma'ariv, at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, in a very moving way, the Chazanis is beautiful near... Are you davening Ma'ariv? No. So you'll be Zolche one day here.
Maybe one day.
Yes, it's very moving. After Shmoneh Esrei, in Chazar Sashas, after... There was no Chazar Sashas. After Shmoneh Esrei, we have the paragraph of David Mizmor Lashem Aretz Umuloa. And the Chazan, the Baal Tefillah, sings it. It's Chazanus. It happens to be very moving. And what's it doing in the Rosh Hashanah davening? This should be familiar. This is the Shir Shel Yom for Yom Rishon. Why are we saying this on Rosh Hashanah? What's the significance to this paragraph? We also say it's when we put the Torah away on a Monday, Thursday, Shabbos Mincha. So it's interesting. Erev Rosh Hashanah, if it's a Sunday, or Erev Rosh Hashanah, if it's a Monday or a Thursday, people are mumbling these words, maybe saying half of them. People aren't saying that paragraph with a lot of kavana. All of a sudden, the next day, it's the next night, and we're shuckling, we're crying, we're screaming this paragraph. What is this paragraph, L'David Mizmor Hashem Aretz Umuloa, doing on Rosh Hashanah? So I think, on a very simple level, we could point out that there are a lot of psukim in this paragraph that refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. Su Shar Meshecha Minasu Pischei Olam V'Yavo Melech HaKavod. Mizem Melech HaKavod. Su Shar Meshecha Minasu Pischei Olam V'Yavo Melech HaKavod. Mizem Melech HaKavod. Melech HaKavod. So, time and time again in this paragraph, we know it's one of the themes. In fact, those psukim are in the Musaf, the psukim for Malchios. So maybe on a very simple pshat, we're starting Rosh Hashanah after the Shmoneh Esrei, and we're banging home the idea, the notion of a Kadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech. I think that might be probably the most simple pshat. It could be also that there's a pasuk in here that says, Neki Chapayim Uvar Levav. Who's the one to ascend to the mountain of Hashem? The Neki Chapayim Uvar Levav, the one with a purity and a clean heart. Rabbi Soloveitchik, as Arnie Lustiger points out in his Machzor, commented that Rav Sadia Gaon has a whole parak on tefillah, which is all about the purity of heart. That becoming a bar levav, someone with a pure heart, is a prerequisite to tefillah. They're intertwined. So as we're getting ready to start 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, we want to remind people, davening, 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 but don't forget about the Neki Chapayim Uvar Levav. I think that's another potential pshat, but I think there's something much more. The source for this tefillah or this parak of Tehillim being in Rosh Hashanah davening is in Arizal. Reb Chaim Vital quotes in Arizal. That's where it comes from. The Arizal writes, "Beleil Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Kippur, Kodem Kaddish Basra, before the last Kaddish, Mikra Pamachas, Tikra Pamachas, Mizmor LaDavid, Mizmor LaShem Aretz Umeloah." And he tells us the kavanas and the tsirufe shemos, different ways the yudke vavke is spelled and formulated. And he says that someone who says this tefillah with kavana is guaranteed that he won't be lacking parnasa the whole year. This, in fact, is called the tefillas haparnasa. Now, I think that's even more fascinating. It's Rosh Hashanah. This is really the first, we have Shemona Esrei, but of all the piyutim and the psukim and tehillim, this is really first. Ma'ariv is Ma'ariv, and there's the Shemona Esrei. But everything else we're going to do, the Chol Ma'aminim, and then the Santokef, Hashem Malach, Lekel Orech Din, this is the first thing. The first thing we're doing is dying for Parnasa. What? Start with life, with Chaim. We start with talk about ruchnius, spirituality. Why are we starting our davening with parnasa? So take a step back. The Gra, in his introduction to the Machzor, he quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says there is no mention of chet, of averos, in all of Rosh Hashanah davening. Right? There's one exception. What's the one exception? Only the first Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu, Chatanu Lefanecha. Very good. After that, there's no mention of chet. There's no al chet. It's Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The first 2 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. There's no al chet. There's no Hashamnu Bagadnu. Go through all of davening. There's no mention of chet. Not only that, there isn't really mention of our own needs. Before Niyachia Miyamos, a little bit, there's very little mention. The Gra says the reason for that is because of the Zohar. The Zohar says that God looks down at people and he says, you're asking me for life, you're asking me for food, you're asking me for parnasa, you're asking me for clothing. That's what you're asking for on Rosh Hashanah. You're not worried about me. You're not worried about Kvod Shemayim. Rosh Hashanah is about Kvod Shemayim. It's about the Melech Malchei Melechim, being Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are you worrying about your own needs? And the Zohar is very harsh in the criticism of anyone who davens for themselves. So the Gra says there's no mention of chet, because if we talked about sins, we would focus on our own repentance, and Rosh Hashanah is not about us. However, almost all the Mefarshim who lived after the Gra said that doesn't work for us today. The Chazanish, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, even before that, the Alter Mikelm, all said that today we have to be true and honest. We are not holding on a place where our whole Rosh Hashanah can just be about being Mamach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For people who are on that level, they don't have to worry about themselves. We're not on that level, and it would almost be, it'd be a joke, it'd be gaiva, it'd be chutzpah to think that we could go through a whole Rosh Hashanah and not think about ourselves. More than that, the Alter Mikelm said that we need to focus on our own life, on our parnasa, and everything about our own needs, to create a vision of the Yom HaDin. It's hard to really picture the Yom HaDin. The Dubna Magid said a mashal. He said, imagine if when you walked out of shul, it's a heavy mashal. Imagine if you walked out of shul on Rosh Hashanah and there are like 30 buses. One bus said, lose your job. One bus said, coronavirus. We wouldn't know what that was last year. One bus says, promotion. Get into college of your choice. Cancer, lo aleinu. Imagine if there are all these buses, and as we were walking out of shul, there was the camp director who was guiding people to the buses. Then we would feel the Yom HaDin. But we don't have that. We can't feel it. So to think about our own life and what Rosh Hashanah is going to do for our parnasa and for our family and for our health, so that helps us get into the mode of Rosh Hashanah. So says many of the Achronim, the Alter Mikelm, and many since then, that now we should daven for ourselves. The Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes from the Chazon Ish that we're supposed to daven for our own requests on Rosh Hashanah. That's the way we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's our Melech. We believe in Him. One of the Chassidish Rebbes says, we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Kadosh ata v'norah shemecha. God, you are holy and awesome. How can we ask for our own needs? Well, this is God. And what's the next words? V'ein eloka mibaladecha, because there's nowhere else for us to turn. Because God is ours. We have nowhere else to go. So today, we should be asking for our quests. Ad kidei kach, that the Mata Ephraim, who quotes the halachic minhagim, he writes, and I asked Rabbi Lubin about this today, he told me it's in the Machzor on Rosh Hashanah. Normally on Shabbos, when we daven for a chola, for a sick individual, we say, Shabbos hi mi lizok. Right? Because we're not supposed to ask for personal requests. So when you hear the rabbi or the gabbai say the Mishaberach, Shabbos hi mi lizok, Rufua krov alavo, Yom Tov hi mi lizok. Rosh Hashanah, even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't have to say Shabbos hi mi lizok. So I saw this in the Mata, quoted in the Mata Ephraim. I looked it up in the Mata Ephraim. I asked by Luban and Michi and Gershon Klavan, the Gabbaim. They said, yeah, it's in the Art Scroll Machzor as well. The Art Scroll Machzor got it from the Mata Ephraim, not the other way around. Because the whole point is to ask for our own needs. That's how we feel the din. That's how we connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe that's Chad and why we start with this Tefillah for Parnasa. To really frame what Rosh Hashanah is going to be for us is to ask for our request, to connect to God, to talk to God, to understand that everything is coming from Him, Ein Elokam Ibaladecha, and therefore maybe we start with Tefillas HaParnasa, with David Mizmor Hashem Aretz Meloah. That could be the third explanation. Again, number one, we constant emphasis on Melech, Melech HaKavod, Melech, Melech, Melech. The second idea from Rav Soloveitchik, Niki Chapayim Uvar Levav, and then this idea of Tefillas HaParnasa. So that's insight number one. If you turn back to Shemoneh Esrei, so let's go to Shemoneh Esrei. Let's discuss a little bit the different additions into our Shemoneh Esrei. The first one is Zachreinu L'chaim, Melech Chafetz B'chaim, God, remember us for life. Remember us for life, the King who wants life. And write us in the Book of Life, L'mamcha, for your sake, the God who's alive. Interesting, the tour, not a contemporary popular speaker, but the tour, one of the Rishonim, points out that tefillah has 11 words. Why is that significant? Because there are two major psukim in Tanakh which talk about tshuva, which also have 11 psukim. Hechafotz achpos mos rasha nu mashem elokim. Does God want the Russia to die? Halo b'shuva midiracha v'chaya. God wants the Russia to do tshuva. 11 words. So the 11 words in Zachreinu L'chaim is somehow, because we're supposed to know all of Tanakh by heart, is to remind us, to hint to that pasuk. There's another pasuk in the same paragraph. U'b'shuv Russia mirishasa asher asa. When the Russia repents, v'asa mishpat utztaka hu es nafsho y'chaya. Again, a pasuk about tshuva. 11 words. So 11 words in Zachreinu L'chaim correspond to 11 words. The Torah says also how many letters are in Zachreinu L'chaim. I don't expect you to know that. 68, which is gematria of Chaim. So again, it's another allusion, a hint, what exactly is the deep kavana behind those gematrias. I leave that to other people. But that's the Torah. What's interesting is that here we ask for Chaim. Right? Zachreinu L'chaim. V'chasveinu b'sefer HaChaim. Later on, in the last edition, in the second to last edition, Uchsov L'chaim Tovim. Why don't we ask for Chaim Tovim over here? Is life enough, or do you want a good life? B'sefer Chaim Baruch Hashem Farnas Tovim Nizakim Devanam Chom Hashem Chaim Tovim Hashem. Also, in the last one, we ask for Chaim Tovim. Anach Nivchamcha Beis Yisrael L'chaim Tovim U'l'Hashem. So which one is it? Why, in the first edition, do we just ask for Chaim, plain, straight up Chaim? I would have said that maybe that's enough. Well, what's the difference between Chaim and Chaim Tovim? We want a Chaim Tovim, right? So why don't we always ask for Chaim Tovim? Be consistent. So I saw two explanations. There's a parish called the Anath Yosef, which is a parish in the Sefer Otzar Tfilos. I think he's quoting from earlier Rishonim, that the way of people, when they ask someone for something, when a child asks for a parent, They start small. First, I'm going to ask for a car. And then we'll start talking about what car I'm going to get. First, I'm going to ask for any new clothing. And then I'll make my way to ask for the type of clothing I want, which is more expensive. So too, when we're asking God, we start with Chaim. And then as we build ourselves up and build up our senses in Shimon Esrei and our spiritual character, then we can ask for Chaim Tovim. That's one explanation. The Gra, and this is quoted in a new Machzor that came out by Rav Druck, who is very close with Robert Kreitman and Jack Atkin and some other chevra here. Art Scroll just put out an English Machzor from Rav Druck. It's got some beautiful, beautiful ideas. He quotes the Gra that the first two times we daven, Zecharenu L'Chaim and Micha Mocha, is referring to Olam Haba, Chaim in the world to come. In Olam Haba, in the world to come, there's no Chaim and Chaim Tovim. Life itself is good. It's Kulo Chaim. It's Kulo Tov. But in the second two, Ksov L'Chaim Tovim Kol B'nei B'risecha, and B'Sefer Chaim Barakha B'Shalom for Nasa Tova, we're asking for Olam Haza, a life in this world. In this world, we all know there's a life, but not everyone who's living is really alive. There's a life, and there's a good life. So the first two are Olam Haba, and the second two are Olam Haza, this world. That's an insight into Zachreinu L'Chaim. There's an insight in B'Sefer Chaim Bracha, and the last one, which in Marv is on page 74, which I never thought about until I was preparing for this year, and I think it's very interesting. We repeat Chaim. B'Sefer Chaim Bracha B'Shalom U'Farnasa Tova. In the Book of Life, blessing, peace, Parnasa, Nizacher V'Nikasei L'Fanech. We should remember it, and we should be written in front of you, God. Anachnu As V'Chol Amcha Beis Yisrael, and all the Jewish people, L'Chaim Tovim L'Shalom. For Chaim Tov, life. We just asked for life. Why do we repeat life twice? Shalom also is twice. The Sefer Chaim Bracha V'Shalom. Why are we repeating Chaim and Shalom? So many of the Mefarshim point out, and the article commas don't go with this shot, is that you have to read the pasuk, the prayer differently. The Sefer Chaim Bracha V'Shalom Afarnasa Tova Nizacher. God, let us be remembered in the Book of Life and blessing and peace and Parnasa. Comma. V'nikasev lefanecha is this new prayer. Let us be written in front of you, us and all the Jewish people, l'chaim tovim l'shalom. It's two prayers. It's a prayer to be remembered in the Book of Life, and then another prayer to be written in the Book of Life. And they point out that you should actually, when you're saying tefillah, you should stop at nizacher. The comma here doesn't express that. V'sefer chaim baruch l'shalom for nasa tovim nizacher. Prayer number one. Prayer number two, nikasev lefanecha. That's how they explain. Now, what exactly is the difference between God remembering us and God writing us in the book? That's too long of a conversation for tonight. That's more of a drasha on Rosh Hashanah on a non-COVID year when we have more than 7 minutes for a drasha. Zachreinu l'chaim and kasveinu l'chaim. If you have ksiva, why do you need zechira? What's the role of zechira in Rosh Hashanah? Zechronos, there's a lot to talk about. But I thought that was an interesting insight into how Sefer Chaim Bracha is played out. Okay, the next insight, and this is one of my favorite ideas I saw, is if you go back a little bit into the Shimon Esrei, right after Atta Kadosh, it's on page 64, three paragraphs in a row start with Uvechein. Uvechein ten paptucha. Uvechein ten kavod lamecha. Uvechein tzadikim yiru v'yismachu. What does the word uvechein mean? Right, except it's with a chaf, not a ches. Uvechein, and so too it should be, right? What's uvechein? Why do we need the... What are the words uvechein doing here? Ten paptucha, Hashem Elokeinu. God, place and instill your awe on the people. God, tain kavod Hashem l'amecha. Tzadikim, yiru v'yismachu. What's uvechein? What's uvechein? And so too. What's the and so too? What's uvechein? So the Abu Jaham, who's a Rishon, he says this uvechein is referencing another Uvechein that we find in Tanakh. Where do we have Uvechein in Tanakh?
Esther.
Esther, very good. What's the pasuk? Uvechein avo al ha-melech. And so too I should go in front of the king. Uvechein avo el ha-melech. And that's all that Abu Jaham writes. He says, well, he adds a little more. Esther, when she went to Achashverosh to beg for the Jewish people for their survival, that was a Yom HaDin for her. Right? The Klaisa was Lahashmi Laharu Bila'abid is Kol Yehudim. It was a Yom HaDin. So Rosh Hashanah is our Yom HaDin. So since there's a Uvechein over there, there's a Uvechein over here. That's all that Abu Jaham writes. I'll read it to you. B'tiknu lomar Uvechein. They instituted to write, to say Uvechein. Al shem Uvechein avo al ha-melech. Because in reference to Esther, Lefishu ata Yom HaDin, now is a Yom HaDin. Vanu bon lefei malach machim lach mekosh baruchu. We're going in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Esther went in front of Achashverosh. He doesn't say this, but we know that whenever the Megillah says Melach Stam, it's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So V'chein Avol HaMelach, maybe that's a reference. That's all about Jehom writes. So what's the significance? Why are we referencing Esther? You're right, it was a Yom HaDin, but what can we learn from there? What's the significance? Why do we have to, in Shemot Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, reference Esther HaMelach? So Rav Druk, in his Machzor, what?
Purim is life. It represents the whole year.
Against your Purim. Okay. So listen to what Rav Druk says. What's the rest of that pasuk? V'chein avo al ha-melech. Asher lo kedas. I shouldn't go. It's not proper for me to go. It's against the law, the rules of the king. If Achashverosh didn't summon you, you don't go. And if you go, you risk your life. If you don't find favor in his eyes, you can be executed. Esther could have said to Mordechai, I'm not going. Come on. I'll have my time. It's not worth the risk. This was 11 months. We have plenty of time before Purim. It happened in Nisan. It was 11 months later. I have time. Let's say Achashverosh doesn't want me to come. Let's say I don't find favor in Achashverosh's eyes. He's going to execute me and all the Jewish people. Who am I? I'm not worthy. I'm a girl, Jewish girl, living with Achashverosh for all these years. Come on. I can't do it. Asher lo chadas. And she didn't say that. She didn't rationalize. She didn't give any excuses. She wasn't more heter. She didn't have any logic to why not to go, even though it would have been compelling. She went anyways. Says Rav Druk, we approach Rosh Hashanah and we could say, who am I to go in front of God? I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to ask, Kasveinu l'chaim, Zachreinu l'chaim, B'sefer chaim bracha, did I use my life as well as I could have this year? Did I use my parnasa as well as I could have this year? Did I increase shalom in the world? Or chas v'shalom, decrease the shalom in the world? Who am I? But no. Uvechein, just like Esther, Uvechein avo ha-melech asher lo kedas. Even though maybe you're not worthy, and maybe there's reason not to go, Esther went anyways, and look what happened. So too, Israel, us, the Jewish people, on Rosh Hashanah, we remind ourselves, Uvechein avo al ha-melech asher lo chedas. Even if it's not appropriate, even if we're not worthy, we on Rosh Hashanah can still go. And that's Uvechein all these times in Shemoneh Esrei. And I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful insight which could enhance our Shemoneh Esrei. Good. Moving along, in that third paragraph of Uvechein Tzadikim, we say the olasa tikvats piha, the chal harisha kula keashan tichle. Iniquity will close its mouth, and all the wickedness will evaporate like smoke. Kisavir emshal azadim in aretz, when you Hashem remove evil from the earth. So Rav Druk over here appoints us to a Gemara in Brachos in Daf Yud. It's a well-known Gemara with Rav Meir and Beria. The Gemara says that there were these baryonim, these bandits, these hooligans, if you will, who were bothering Rav Meir endlessly. And the Gemara says that Rav Meir davened that they would die. They didn't doubt that they would die. His wife, Berea, said, why are you doubting that they die? The Pasuk says, Yitamu chatoim min haaretz, which we say in Rosh Baruch Hinafsh and Rosh Chodesh. The sins should wither away. It doesn't say Yitamu chotim. It says Yitamu chatoim min haaretz. The sins. She said, daven that they do tshuva. And if you daven the tshuva, then the sins will go away and they'll live. Why are you davening Rav Meir that they die? The Gemara says Rav Meir listened to his wife, and that's what happened. He davened in tshuva, and it did tshuva. What Rav Meir hold originally? What was his havamina? Why didn't his wife tell him that? I mean, any person who thinks you should daven that to meet him die, that's a good question. Why did Rav Meir need his wife to remind him that? That's the Gemara. Rav Meir davened in tshuva, and they did tshuva in the inwards. Rabbi Kiva Eger on that Gemara points out that you see that tefillah for another person's spiritual success works even if they don't ask you. It's one thing if someone comes to you and says, listen, I'm struggling in my Judaism. I'm having a hard time connecting davening for me. Or my child, my friend, can you daven for them? Here, no one asked. These baryonim, these hooligans, they didn't ask Rav Meir or Meir's wife, Berea, to daven for them. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, you see that a tefillah for another person's spiritual success can work even if it's not prompted by a request. Says Rav Druck, that is the pshat in this tefillah. We say, V'olasa tikpats piya v'chol harisha kula ka'ashan tichol. Let all of the sins, the wickedness, evaporate. It doesn't say the wicked. We're not asking God to destroy the wicked or evaporate, remove the wicked people. We're asking Him to help remove the wickedness, the wicked actions. This, says Rav Druck, is a tefillah for the spiritual success of others. Even if they don't ask us. He says this is the time in our Shemona Esrei, again, we can have personal requests to think about those who we know who are struggling in their Judaism, who maybe are off the Darach, who maybe are not where we think they should be or they want to be, even if they don't ask us. We never called them before, and by the way, what's your name? I'm going to tell them that you did tshuva. But this tefillah, says Rav Druck, based on that, Rabbi Kiva Eger, is a tefillah to daven for people's spiritual success. Also, a beautiful insight. And now is one of my favorite insights. Nir, you're davening chakras? Okay. The minhag on Rosh Hashanah is the Baal Tefillah starts Shacharis in his spot. He doesn't go, all year, we don't do that. All year, the Baal Tefillah, the Chazan, goes up to the Amid or the Bima, the Shulchan, and he says, Shulchan Ad, Marom, he starts davening. On Rosh Hashanah, that's not the case. On Rosh Hashanah, he starts where he is, if he could be heard. Sometimes they move a little bit closer to the Amid, but not at the actual Amid. And he starts, whatever the exact tune is, yeah, everyone's got a little different, you know, twist, a different nusach. He starts with the ay, 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 however you're going to sing it. And then, from that spot, he yells, Hamelech. And then he goes to the Yomim. So why do we do that? We want, all of a sudden, we want davening to be a little bit more interactive. We're going to have a laning in the back of the shul and Musaf in the side of the shul as a teacher who's walking around the classroom. We never do that. It's Rosh Hashanah. So why does he start ay, 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 Hamelech, and then go to the Yomim? This is a question. So I saw last year, Rav Biederman, Rav Elimelech Biederman, people have seen some of his videos and read some of his stuff, it's unbelievable. He suggests the following insight. He says, so many people, they're all year, ay, 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 if I was only the other person. If I only had that person's parnasa, things would be better for me. If I grew up like that person, had that background, then I'd be a much better Jew. If I had his wife, his house, his career, his or her anything, things would be better. All year we're crying, ay, 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 if I only had that, what that person had. Comes Rosh Hashanah, and the Chazan representing all of us, from your own spot, what does he say? Hamelach. We all can be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can make HaKadosh Baruch Hu our king and connect to God from our spot. We don't have to think about being somewhere else or being someone else. From our spot, we say, ay, 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 Hamelach. The Hamelach is my Melach from wherever I am. I don't need to go anywhere else. So the Chazan who represents us, we're all being represented by the Baal Tefillah, by the Chazan, starts in his spot and yells HaMelech and then moves to another place. And that was the insight of Rabbi Biderman, which I thought was very interesting. The Mefarshim and a couple of Svarim quoted the following mushal of how we scream out HaMelech. He said, imagine you have a person who is kidnapped and he's being taken by horse and buggy to an undisclosed destination by the kidnappers. He has no hope. He has no way out. He's chained up. He's shackled in the back of this horse and buggy. He's going. He doesn't know where he's going. He has no options. Just his luck, as the horse is going by, they see the king is coming by with his entourage. So he knows his only last choice, his only option is just to scream, Melech, Melech, King, King, and maybe the king will have Rachmanis and save him. So say to Mefarshim, that's what's going on. All year we're being taken, we're being captured by our Yetzirah. We're being captured by the busyness of this world. We're being captured by all the things that pull us away. And Rosh Hashanah comes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close. Dirshu Hashem behima atzob, yaso karov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, and Rosh Hashanah is so close. So we yell out, Melech! HaMelech! We're yelling HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's our last hope, our last chance to be saved by yelling Melech. That's insight number two on Melech. Number three, I just saw this today, that the minhag also is to say Ram V'Nisa out loud. Hamelech Ram V'Nisa, out loud. Ram is Gematria 240. 240 are the number of hours in Aseres Metshuva. Right? You don't have to be so great at math. 10 times 24. 240, which is Gematria Ram. Hamelech Ram V'Nisa. So we yell out loud, the minhag is to yell out Ram, to remind ourselves, we have 240 hours. About that time, it's a little bit less. But Aseres Metshuva is 240. And if we take advantage, we'll be elevated. We'll be Ram. And if not, it'll be flipped around. And if you flip the letters of Ram around, it's Mar, which is bitter. So that was a nice idea. Let's do a few more minutes. Let's go to Shofar. Okay, this is an incredible insight. Really incredible. If you turn to page, when you start the mock, you're like, I can't believe I still have 400 pages left, right? If I would use the old Hebrew one, Davening seems shorter because there's fewer pages. If you go to page 434, Shofar. Right before the brachos on Shofar, we read Mina Meitzar Karasika Anani Bemerchavka. I probably could have said Hashem's name, saying the whole pasuk. And then we read six psukim. Koli Shamata Atali Maznecha L'Rav Chasi L'Shavasi. And read the next five psukim, the six psukim. The Mefarshim point out, I think it's even on the bottom of the art scroll over here, that these six psukim, the first letter spells Kara Satan. We want to rip up the Satan. Right? Kuf Resh Ayin, Koli Rosh Tavarach Emes, Arov Abdechal Tov is Kara, Kuf Resh Ayin to rip, to tear. And then Sasan Ochi, Tuvtan Vadas Landani, Nidvos P, Satan, Kara Satan. I didn't know this until I saw this in the Sefer, that starting from Rosh Tavarach Emes, so Pasuk 2 through 6 are all from Tehillim. They're all from Tehillim. They're actually all from Tehillim, Kuf, Yud, Tes. That's a long parak in Tehillim. The first pasuk, though, Koli Shamata, is not from Tehillim. Yoel has a 25% chance that he read it this past year on Tisha B'Av. Didn't you land on Tisha B'Av?
I did.
Yeah. So this is in Eicha. You did the third parak?
First.
Okay. It's in the third parak of Eicha. So it's interesting. We are reading six psukim. It makes sense to use psukim for Tehillim. Tehillim is Rosh Hashanah saying Tehillim, the Brisker Rav. It's all Rosh Hashanah. We just say Tehillim. We're using five or six psukim from Tehillim, and the first pasuk is from Eicha. Interesting. Maybe you'll tell me. Well, in Tehillim, we couldn't find a pasuk with Kuf that talked about Tefillah. So that's actually, it's not true. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, actually, in the same parak. Parak Kuf Yutes, the same parak where the next five psukim are from. Pasuk 149, Kuf Mem Tes, Koli Shema, God, listen to my voice. Kichasdecha Hashem, Kimishpatecha Chayeni. God, listen to me in kindness, and you should keep me alive with your mishpat. So it's very similar. Koli shamata talem aznachal rav chasi l'shavasi. Why are you using a pasuk in Eicha? There is a pasuk in Tehillim in the very same parak as the next five psukim. That is a strong question. So why are we using a pasuk in Eicha? Let's do two explanations. Explanation number one: in Eicha we cried. There were a river of tears on Eicha of our destruction, and ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to us. So we're reminding ourselves so to hear, cry hard, daven hard, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen. But there's something deeper. There's another problem. That pasuk of Koli Shamata is what tense? Past. Why are we using a pasuk in past tense? We're asking God to listen to us. What's Koli Shamata? You have heard my voice. The pasuk that I quoted for you in Tehillim, in that very same parak, Koli Shema, God, listen to my voice. So not only is it difficult that we're using a pasuk in Eicha rather than Tehillim, when every other pasuk is in Tehillim, and there's a pasuk in that very same parak in Tehillim, but the pasuk in Eicha is past tense, and the pasuk that we could suggest to use is more appropriately in the future tense. So here too, Rav Jirok says as follows. Rosh Hashanah is very much about our inner voice. It's dreams that we've had. It's yearnings that we've had. That's who we are. But over the year, it gets a little rusty, it gets a little stale, it gets a little dirty. We're not, with everything going on in the world, our yearning that we've had at one point in time becomes weaker. We have a harder time expressing it. It becomes silent. It's not a new prayer. Our prayer in Rosh Hashanah, our yearning to get closer to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, to have a year of Lamancha Elokim Chaim, a year of Sefer Chaim Bracha, a year of spirituality, a year of connection. It's not, God, listen to what I'm going to be saying. I've already said this, God. I've expressed this. I want this. It's so much a part of me. It could be it was 10 years ago. It could be it was last year, Yom Kippur, during Hashem Elokim. It's a voice that's been there and has been inside of us. It's actually a voice that has been expressed previously. So it makes sense, says Rav Druck, to use a language of Avar, of past, Koli Shamata. You have heard my voice, God. You know what I'm really all about. You know what I really yearn for. That voice, Al Talem Aznecha L'Rav Chasi L'Shavasi, don't shut your ear to that voice which I've expressed already. I'm not trying to recreate anything, God. I'm not trying to be something new and something totally different. It's who I am. It's who I've always been. It's who I always really want to be at my core. So that's why we use the pasuk in Eicha, because it's past tense, which is specifically what we want to use, rather than a future, which I think is a very powerful idea as well. Let's go one more minute, if that's okay. We'll end with something positive. Not that it hasn't been positive until now, but a little bit more positive. Yeah, in the Kael Orech Din, which I think is a very beautiful moving tefillah, which in the Machzor, the first day it's in Shacharis. Page 374. Oh, I'm actually looking in the second day. That's why I had a hard time finding it, but it's the same tefillah. Page 374. A beautiful insight from the Nesiv HaShalom, the Slonim HaRebbe. He says, late in the tefillah, we say, L'tzofe nishtaros b'yom din. It's alphabetical order, so it's towards the end. I don't know. I mean, I can tell what the article only says. I don't have a deeper insight.
What
did he say? It says here, he prepares man for. It prepares man for judgment.
It's not the tense
that it's given. Right. Okay, I have to think about that. Maybe part two. So let's sofen the stars beyom din. God who scrutinizes the hidden. That, says the Nesiv HaShalom, is perhaps the two scariest words of all of Rosh Hashanah. That there, God knows that which is hidden. We can't hide from God. All of our thoughts, all of our actions, all the things that we did that we thought and hoped that no one would see. He says, when a Jew says those words, they have to tremble. Let's so finish Taros. But there's a phrase that's very consoling as well, which we actually start with. And that's the phrase of Gola Amukos. God reveals the depths. God knows what we're really all about. And really, at the core, we all yearn to be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. As difficult as it is, and sometimes when we're alone, L'tzofe nishtaros, we act in a way that we shouldn't act, and we have to do tshuva for that. But ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also L'gola Amukos. God understands what we're really about. And even if we can't get there on a day-to-day basis, even if we can't get there by the end of Rosh Hashanah, if that's who we are, that's really the first step. It's not the final step, but it's the first step. And that, says Nesiv HaShalom, should be a consoling thought as we enter through Rosh Hashanah, not to get down and not to focus on all the sofen nistaros, but to focus on the gola mukos, that if we really yearn to connect and we really have that she'ifa, that desire to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gola mukos, recognizes that. He bottles it up, and hopefully the insights we shared tonight will hopefully increase our ability to connect on Rosh Hashanah as we prepare and get closer to the Yom HaDin, where hopefully we'll all be written and inscribed in the Book of Life, the Book of Bracha, Shalom, Ufarnasa Tova, Chaim in Olam Haba, and Chaim Tovim in Olam Hazeh. Have a good night. Yes, let me just... Have a good night. Yeah, I'm not really sure what I'm doing over here.
Close.
Have a good night. Okay. Have a good night.